Hello, we're back with 10 Minutes of Talmud, and today we will talk about the true blue thread. So we'll say our blessing and be on our way. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah. All right, we're still in Yerushalmi Sanhedrin, chapter 10, in the commentary to Mishnah 1, and we have started to discuss the definition of an Epicurus, who's one of those people who has no share in the world to come. And we just got done learning that Korach was a very rich guy, and he made a garment of completely made up of blue thread. Now this blue, the true blue, has been rediscovered. The salient point of this blue dye is that it never, ever fades. One of the ways they found it was they found a dye pit from 2,000 years ago near the coast in Israel, and they took samples from the sides of this dye pit, which had been sitting out in the elements for 2,000 years, and the color was still there. You can buy the true blue thread from Petil Techelet. You'll see, it's very expensive. The reason that it is so expensive is because you have to process 10,000 snails to be able to make 1 pint of dye. So there's a reason that this is such an expensive dye. It simply does not fade. If you order that stuff, I challenge you to just snip off about an inch from one of the threads and put it in undiluted Clorox. I kid you not, the fabric will, the thread will be eaten away a little bit, but even as the actual threads decompose, the color does not change in undiluted Clorox. Trust me, did the experiment, you won't believe your eyes. One of the ways that you knew an honest merchant back then was that he would sell you the true blue thread and it wouldn't fade, because this blue is pretty much the same color as indigo, which is the color of blue jeans, which we know fades, right? But when they're newly dyed, you wouldn't be able to tell. So it's sort of the honor, it's the measure of an honest merchant. All right, so Korach makes this toga of all blue threads. So it's just a massively, massively expensive garment. Kind of like, you know, making a dress out of $100 bills or something. But it's also a way of fulfilling this commandment of having these true blue threads. Okay. Atagabe Moshe. So he comes to Moshe, Amarle, and he says to Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach says, my Moshe, our teacher. Talit shekula techelet, mahu shete chayevet batzitzit. A talit, or a garment that is made completely out of techelet, does it need tzitzit? Does it need the threads of blue on the corners? All right. The other reason that these threads of blue and the edges of somebody's garment are so important is that in ancient times, people sometimes just had one garment and were known by it. And in some cuneiform tablets, the way a person signs their name is by imprinting a clay tablet with the hem of their robe, because it was so distinctive that a person could be known by it. I know it sounds unbelievable to think that, but actually in the 1930s, the average woman only had 9 outfits. It's not that long ago. Okay. So actually, he's asking a pretty reasonable question, right? I mean, Why do you need threads of blue in the corner? The whole thing is blue. All right. Amar lo. So Moses said to him, Chayevet. Dichtiv. Gedilin ta'aseh lach v'gomer. That you should make fringes for yourself. All right. So Moses says, yeah, even if you're whole, the garment is blue, you still need to put tzitzit on it. Okay. Buy it. Shehuma le'sfarim mahu. So Korach kind of shoots it back to him, right? A house that's full of holy books, does it need a mezuzah? Right? If we're talking about a text having a protective capability around a house, well then, wouldn't you think that a house full of holy books would serve to protect the house? I mean, it's actually kind of a reasonable question, right? Amar lo chayav, the mezuzah. So Moses says, yeah, even a house full of holy books, you have to have a mezuzah for it. Dichtiv, since it is written, buchtavtem al mezuzot betecha, you have to write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. All right? Amar lo, so Korach says to him, Beheret ki gris mahu. If you have a patch of white skin on your body, is that ritual impurity? Is that leprosy? All right. So Moses says, Amar lo tame. Yes, that is ritually impure. Parcha v'chulo. So Korach asks, well, what about the entire body if it's turned white? Amar lo tahor. Moses says, that's okay. According to Leviticus, it's only skin disease if there's a wound the size of a bean on your skin. If you're all one color, then you don't have leprosy. All right? Be'otosha amar Korach. And at that moment, Korach said, Ein Torah min hashemayim velo Moshe Navi velo Aharon Kohen Gadol. That apparently was what tipped Korach right over the edge, because he's just disagreeing with the way that Moses interprets Torah. It's not that he's not trying to be a good Jew. He's just kind of being Jewish his way. But that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And so he says, Torah is not from heaven, and Moses isn't a prophet, and his brother Aaron is not thy priest. Subtext, I should be. Biotosha Amar Moshe, and at that time Moses said right back to him, Ribon Kol Ha'olamim, Master of all the universe, Im Nivra La'aretz Peh, Misheshet Yimei V'Reshit, Hare Mutav. He said, if in the earth was created, if a mouth of the earth was created during the 6 days of creation, it is fine. The im lav yibare la me'achshav. And if not, go ahead and make one, because we want to put this guy in it. Okay? The im b'ria yivra Adonai. If the eternal would create a creation. That's Numbers 16:30. So in other words, what is an epic chorus? An epic chorus is somebody who's devoted to Judaism, but just doesn't agree with the way you do it. Boy, we could have a lot of epicorsing. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.